I think first we should offer prayer for those folks in New Zealand that have experienced a horror that we can hardly imagine. Who would like to pray for them? Do we have anyone who would like to?
Lord, lift up people in New Zealand, God, shooting at the mosque where close to 50 people were just murdered. Pray, O God, that in this time of darkness, that the light of Christ can shine through, Lord, that this incident took place in a town called Christ Church.
Yeah.
And that we pray, O God, that the love of Christ will shine through that place, Lord, and that there will be a time of healing, God, a time of searching, a time of mending the hearts, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, O God, that you are our Lord, and that your gospel is a gospel of love. Your gospel is a gospel of truth. Your gospel is the gospel reaching out.
Amen.
To all peoples, to all nations, with a heart of love, Lord. We just, these people are to you, Jesus, that are affected by this tragedy, God, that your love will shine through. They will see the light of Christ, see the love of Christ, God. They see the love of Christ will shine through. Do we not hate, but love? If your word says that you overcome evil with good. And I pray, O God, that your goodness, O God, would overcome this evil that has happened.
Thanks, Jesus.
Amen. And pray for your protection, Lord, over Canada. Amen. So, today is part six of Book of James, and the title for today is Taming the Tongue. Taming the Tongue. So if I can have someone who will read chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. Margaret? You can read in a couple of years. It doesn't matter, either version. James chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. Good and loud, please.
My dear brothers and sisters, don't be so eager to become a teacher in the church, since you know that we who teach are held to a higher standard of judgment. We all fail in many areas, but especially with our words. Yet if we aren't able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way, and that means our character is mature and fully developed. Horses have bits and bridles in their mouths so that we can control and guide their large body. And the same with mighty ships. Though they are massive and driven by fierce winds, yet they are steered by a tiny rudder at the direction of the person at the helm. And so the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it carries great power. Just think of how a small flame can set a huge forest ablaze. And the tongue is a fire. It can be compared to the sum total of wickedness and is the most dangerous part of our human body. It corrupts the entire body, and it is a hellish flame. It releases a fire that can burn throughout the course of human existence. For every wild animal on earth, including birds, creeping reptiles, and creatures of the sea and land, have all been overpowered and tamed by humans. But the tongue is not able to be tamed. It's a fickle, unrestrained evil that spews out words full of toxic poison.
Thank you. Wow. The tongue has more effect on your walk and spiritual life and natural life than any other member of the body, our body, more than our brain, more than our hands, more than our feet, more than our eyes. Because there's power in the tongue. There is a power that can be released through the tongue. In James chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." Why do you think that is? Well, because teachers talk a lot, and they instruct, and they can lead or mislead people. And God puts tremendous emphasis on the accuracy of His Word. Words are remarkably important to God. I'm going to read to you from the Passion Translation here. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. Matthew chapter 12, verse 37, out of the Passion Translation. "Your very words will be used as evidence against you, and your words will declare you either innocent or guilty." That's pretty straightforward. In the New King James, it says, "By your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned," I believe. Yes. So he's putting tremendous emphasis there that our words before God will either justify us or they will be, well, they'll condemn us. That's something to ponder, to reflect upon, because none of us want God to condemn our words or to condemn us because of our words. We don't. And yet we don't think about it. Not very often. Most of the time we're pretty quick to say something. And yet he gives us scriptures like Psalm 141 verse 3. Does anybody know what that says off the top of their head? 141 verse 3? Well, let's look at it because it's kind of important. Good prayer to pray every single day, especially first thing in the morning. Psalm 141, verse 3. "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth, and keep watch over the door of my lips." Set a guard over my mouth. Now, why do you think he says that, to set a guard, that we should pray to set a guard over our mouth? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, because we need help.
Amen, girl. We need help. You're absolutely right. Why do we need help?
Maybe you don't think what people speak.
We talk too much. Now, the Passion Translation says, "God, give me grace to guard my lips from speaking what is wrong." Well, that's pretty direct too. And then Psalm 19, verse 14. Does anybody know what that says? Psalm 19, 14. "So may the words of my mouth, my meditation thoughts, and every movement of my heart be always pure and pleasing, acceptable before your eyes, my only Redeemer, my protector God. Well, imagine praying that every day. So may the words of my mouth, my meditation thoughts, and every movement of my heart be always pure and pleasing, acceptable before your eyes, my only Redeemer, my protector God. So that would change the way we live. It would change the way we live. In James, again, chapter 3, and this entire chapter really is about the words that we speak, the thoughts that we think, which produce the words that we speak. And he says in verse 8 and 9, "No man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God." How many of us are guilty of that? We all are. We all are. That's why we need help. In our own strength and ability, we're unable to tame the tongue. So, if we can't control it, our gifting can't control it, because you can have gifting in your life in certain areas and still run off at the mouth, and God's not going to do it for us, how do we tame or control the tongue? How do we do that? So important.
So if we fill our heart with, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So that it will flow the things that are in us, and the tongue just is quickly spewed out.
We have to be in partnership with the Holy Spirit. We have to be in partnership with the Holy Spirit. God will give us the grace to control it if we're in partnership with Him. And how do we do that? Well, first of all, you can't control your tongue if you allow it to say things that are contrary to God's word. You know, I've got my opinion and I'm going to give it. There are people that say, you know, I'm going to speak my mind. Well, maybe you shouldn't speak your mind. We have to line up our tongue with the Word of God. Speaking the Word of God. Filling it with the Word of God. As Khan just said, we have to fill our hearts with the Word of God. Regardless of the circumstances that we're facing, we still have to speak the Word of God. When Paul and Silas were in jail, and it was pretty icky there, I don't imagine anybody there was having a good time. What did they do? They began to sing and praise God. I mean, that's pretty remarkable, isn't it? I mean, they were in a rat-infested... I can't even imagine. It was like darkness. They were in chains. They were not having a good time. And yet they were having a good time. Because they didn't allow the circumstances to dictate their heart. But in order to do that, the Word has to get on the inside of you. It has to get in. You have to fill it. And when you fill your heart with the Word of God, it's going to come out. It's going to come out. But you and I, we make the decision to allow the Word to dominate our minds, our thinking. And then as a result of that, it will dominate the words we speak. But it won't if we don't. The things that we fill ourselves with, that's what's coming out. Good, bad, or ugly. But if we can learn that there is a power in the Word of God, and we soak in that until it becomes faith in our hearts, then we begin to release that power. We release it. And that's how Peter and John were able to say, "Silver and gold I don't have, but I got something better. I got the power of God in me. I have faith in Jesus, the healer. I have faith. And that faith is worth a lot more than a few bucks. It changed that man's life forever. See, when our tongues get out of control, they become rebellious towards God. They become rebellious. And that includes, you know, things where we run ourselves down too. You know, we go around saying, I'm no good, I'm a worm, blah, blah, blah. That's rebellion to God too, because He says something else about us. But one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible is Proverbs 18:21. Do we know that one? The power of life and death is in the tongue. The power of life and death. Somebody, who has the Passion Translation here? You have the Passion one? Would you read?
The words are so powerful that they will kill and give life. The property of the person will reap the consequences.
Read it again a bit louder, Con, please.
Your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life, and the prophetic person will reap the consequences.
You hear that? Your words are so powerful that they can kill or give life. What's he trying to tell us? You see, they're trying to tell us that your tongue can bite you, even kill you, or it can be a great blessing in your life and in others. So there are reasons for controlling our tongue. There are reasons, and we seldom do. How many of us know someone who is very careful with what the words they speak, their tongue? See, most people are not. James is telling us here that the confession of our tongue, used rightly or wrongly, can literally direct the whole course of our lives. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? It can control, it can change your destiny for good or bad. If you become a person that is full of speaking the Word of God and what God says about you, it will direct you right into the blessings of God. That's the good news. And God says if you can control your tongue in partnership with the Holy Spirit, of course, we can't do it on our own. God won't do it for us. So that when we yield our tongue to God, blessings and grace and mercy and all the wonderful things will be our constant companion. Hallelujah. But if we don't bring our tongue under control, if we don't, death and destruction will be our constant companions. And I'm going to show you that in this morning's message. Because there is a progression that happens. Some people have what is called righteous bitterness. Righteous bitterness. They've been done wrong and they think they have a legal right to feel this way. And they don't. There is no such thing as righteous bitterness. They're just bitterness. And it's a major tool that the enemy uses against us, successfully, usually. The trap of the devil is that once the enemy discovers that someone can wound you in a particular area, when he knows your area, and that as a result of that wound, you react in an ungodly way, and your tongue gets loose and starts about it. Be assured, be assured that the moment you even start to get over that hurt, there's six more coming. Because he knows that's where he can get you. He knows that. And he's very, very, very effective at it. I'm going to read James 3, 5, and 6. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. That's how important it is. That's how critical it really is. And the danger is that the more you yield to this hurt, rehearse this hurt, the greater the root of bitterness that develops until it begins to dominate your whole life. And I know people like that. They're just filled with bitterness, and they tell stories about things that happened 40 years ago as if it was this morning. I had someone say to me, and I won't tell you who, it's no one here, but this person said they were not invited to a particular dinner. Okay? Some anniversary someone was having and they were not invited. And they looked me in the eye and they said, I will never, ever forgive her for not inviting me. Ever. That's the truth. The bitterness just continues to grow. It grows. And the enemy knows that that's where they need to hit this person. They hate being left out. So let me read Hebrews 12:15. Watch over each other to make sure that no one misses the revelation of God's grace, and make sure no one lives with a root of bitterness sprouting within them, which will only cause trouble and poison the hearts of many. What does that mean? It means that not only are you poisoned, but it poisons those around you, including your family. They can't help but be affected by the same poison. There's only one solution to that. And that is soaking in God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, His Word. By soaking in it, it will draw the poison out. It'll take the bitterness out of your soul. Because only a supernatural power can do that. And we all fight it, by the way. You know, there are no exceptions. We all fight it. Anyone here never been hurt? Of course, we've all been hurt. Tempted to seek revenge, even if it was briefly. The problem with that is that it lives and it lives and it lives. The tongue is an index of your heart. In James chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, it says, we're talking about the tongue, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. And it poisons us. It poisons us. It poisons our relationship with God. It limits God's ability to speak to us because our hearts begin to get hard. Because we don't want to hear God saying, you're full of unforgiveness, you're full of bitterness. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that. And the more we seal it away from us, the time will come we won't hear it. That's the danger time. See, the Bible talks about two kinds of wisdoms here from verses 13 to 18. Somebody want to read that for me? 13 to 18.
Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace.
Amen. So there are two kinds of wisdom here. The first one, verse 15, the origin of this wisdom is not from above. It's not from above. It's earthly, sensual, which is natural or soulish, and then demonic. Earthly means it's tied to this world. It's a wisdom that is tied to this world. It's not tied to God. And if you allow your mind to think this way, and most people do because you kind of grow up in a household where people think like the world. Rarely is there one where they don't. So you start to think like the world. But before too long, it moves into, because this is a progression here, it moves into natural or soulish. It becomes the pattern of your life. It's natural in the sense that it's untouched by the influence of the Holy Spirit. It's not sanctified wisdom. After this type of wisdom is embraced and practiced over the years, it then opens the door to the last step here on 15, which is demonic. It opens that door, and we become, or that person becomes susceptible to the influence of the demonic. When that happens, conviction of the Holy Spirit more or less just disappears. You don't feel it anymore. And remember, the enemy comes for three things: steal, kill, and destroy. And what is the result of this? Well, verse 16. Envy, self-seeking, confusion, and every evil thing. So there's jealousy, there's full of selfish ambition, very self-centered. How many people do we know like that, you know, that see they want to get ahead, and if someone else gets ahead of them, they get really angry. Angry. The other kind of wisdom is very, very different, because the origin of this wisdom is from heaven, from God Himself. It allows God to pour Himself and His wisdom into you. It allows God to pour His blessings all over you and you become a joyful, peaceful person, full of mercy. You're not so hard to get along with. You know, wouldn't that be nice? Not to be so hard, not grumpy, but someone who is congenial and kind and gracious. You become gentle, reasonable, full of God's mercy and grace. People like to be around you. They enjoy it. But to get to this place, you have to sow the Word of God into you. You've got to soak that Word. We've got to mourn over our sin and confess all sin to God. Not justify, but confess and forsake. God will forgive if we will confess. And then we have to resist the devil. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 9 talk about being submitted to God. Now let's read it. What the heck here? We're not very far from it. Right after James is Peter. So, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. You resist him, not God for you, but you have, we have to resist him ourselves. There's a war going on. Someone wants your tongue. Someone wants to control your thought life. The enemy is after you. And so when we are quick to repent, when we are humble before God, that significantly lessens his ability to destroy us. Staying filled with mercy and grace, soaking in the Word of God, speaking His Word into our lives and over our lives. The only way to be safe in this, the only way, is to soak in the Word and in the presence of God daily, so that your spiritual antennas are up and you know when something comes, this is an enticement of the devil. I won't react to it. I won't react to it. Because the natural flesh wants to. It wants to. When someone crosses you, takes something that is yours, or gets something you want, the natural fleshly response is resentment and anger and revenge. In order to overcome that, you have to soak in God. If you don't soak in God, you won't be able to overcome. You won't be able to. And you know what? Let me say this very clearly. If you soak in God for 2 or 3 days, and then you don't do it for a month, you lose it. It's not something that you can do sporadically. It must be a way of life. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to control this tongue. We need it. We must have God's help. But in order to have God's help, we've got to be strongly connected to God. But the motivation is, if you do, you're going to speak life over yourself. God's going to pour out His blessings. You're going to experience the actual presence of the Holy Spirit, because He wants to be with you. He wants to be with you. He wants to. But it requires a surrender, a real surrender. And we all have the struggle. We all do. There's no one that, you know, that is so holy that they never have any problems. We all have the struggle. You know, even Paul there, he had a big fight with what's his name over Jean-Marc, you know. We all have it. And must come to the place of being humble and quick to repent. And doesn't it talk about being slow to anger? Does this make sense? See, God wants you and I to experience His blessings. He wants us to have them. But in order for us to have them, we have to be in line with His Word. We have to be in line. And you know what? You're only going to live, you know, let's say 100 years. 100 years. God forbid. But 20 bazillion years from now, Will it matter?
No.
You understand what I'm saying? You need, you know, the people to worry about investing for retirement. We must concern ourselves with investing for eternity. Eternity. Because we are going to stand in front of God, and the things that we have not repented of, the things that we have ignored, the areas where we have refused God are going to be there waiting for us. Now is the time to deal with them. Now. Now. It's much easier to deal with them now than then. Now we can do something about it. Once you're dead, or Jesus returns, it's too late to do anything about it. And nobody fools God. Nobody. No matter how smart we think we are, you are not going to put one over Jesus. None of us are. So Heavenly Father, I pray and ask that you would please this morning help us, O Lord, to get control over our tongue. Help us, Lord. Help us. And one of the best ways to do that is to just begin to speak the Word of God. Let that Word be richly, I think it's Colossians 3 says, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Soak in it. Let that Word just fill you right up. So that when something happens, immediately the Word will rise up and say no or yes, depending what happens. And we'll have the counsel of God, the wisdom of God. And we'll be able to resist the traps that the enemy sets for us. Father, I pray for us today that you will please help us, O God. Help us, every one of us here, help us to be a people who love your word, who soak in your word, who have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. I'm just going to let you have a few minutes here to let the Spirit of the Lord speak to you. Let him speak to you. I'm sure that there are areas for every one of us that the Holy Spirit wants to help us. And he does want to help us. God doesn't want to see you under the power of the evil one. So just talk to him.